Recording started.
Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we like to begin our time together by setting the intention with Naturally 7 and let it be. So as always, welcome. Thank you for taking time out on your busy Sunday to join with the Sunday Soul community as we consciously choose to commune and connect with the ground of being, the source of all that is God in us, as us, through us. And over the recent weeks, before we get into the message, I'd like to share something in regards to what's happening at this moment that's affecting the whole globe. I also want us to hold in our hearts, as always, all the people on the front line, all the people that have passed as a result of this disease and other diseases, but especially the doctors and nurses who have contracted, and the bus drivers I've also read, that have contracted and died from this disease. So let us hold a special place in our hearts for these kind, caring, compassionate people who have given their lives to help so many. So what I'd like to share with you is something I came across this week. And whilst we're in the comfort of being able to social distance and have the shelter of our homes and the little inconvenience of not being able to go out in order to keep everyone safe, we need to spare thought for people in the countries like India, where people are very poor. They've left their country, up in the country, to come down to work in town, and then they've been stuck. And because there's so many of them, there is no ability to do social distancing. They are literally shoulder to shoulder. And so this that I wish to share with you is a view from an Indian doctor who says, social distancing is a privilege. It means you live in a house large enough to practice it. Hand washing is a privilege too. It means you have access to running water. Hand sanitizers are a privilege. It means you have money to buy them. Lockdowns are a privilege. It means you can afford to be at home. Most of the ways to ward the corona off are accessible only to the affluent. In essence, the disease that was spread by the rich as they flew round the globe will now kill millions of the poor. All of us who are practicing social distancing have imposed a lockdown on ourselves must appreciate how privileged we are. Many Indians won't be able to do any of this. I share this because I believe we need to have alternative perspectives sometimes when we're caught up in our own stuff, we're in our heads and we make the drama be bigger than it is or needs to be, to remember those who have less choices than we do, and to be a little bit more compassionate, both in ourselves, towards ourselves, and in thinking and reflecting. with others. The second thing I'd like to invite you to do this morning before I get into the message is to hold in your hearts one of our beloved members of our Sunday Soul community, Marcia, who at the moment is in hospital. So let us hold in our hearts and hold her in light and love and the truth of her being, that she is made in the image and likeness of God, and that image and likeness is health, wholeness, and perfection. So let us get into our message for this Palm Sunday and also my birthday. One of the things I've realized as I have been growing up and in service to God is that no matter what I did, I could never outgive God. But I decided long ago that I would do my utmost to do my best to be the best I could in being of service and giving of myself, my time, my energies, my resources. And so this Palm Sunday, I want us to look at a particular viewpoint. And then I want to share how it affected me this week and how it really spoke to what I was experiencing. So we know that Palm Sunday is the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem. Jesus, prior to his entrance, had healed Lazarus, raised him from the dead, and he had even deferred in going to do that particular miracle because he wanted the people around to be very sure, that God was doing this incredible miracle of raising someone who had been dead for more than 3 days. Because even when he received the news that Lazarus was dead, he said, no, he is not. He's merely sleeping. He took his attention from what was being said, the hurt, the sadness, the pain of what was being told to him, and refused to make that a reality, and simply affirmed it was not true, he was only sleeping. In doing that, he took away the severity of the situation in his mind, in his consciousness, to know that if someone is sleeping, it's easy to rouse, as opposed to thinking if someone's dead, they're going to raise them, even though he knew he had the power to do that. To those around him who did not have the level of faith, of trust, and belief of the Spirit of God that was right where they are, he simply said, they're merely sleeping. He goes, even the sisters of Lazarus said, well, if you'd been here earlier, we know he would be alive. And he's saying, don't worry, still, trust. And so he calls forth Lazarus. As a result, people that were around now start to think there's something to this person. So as he makes his entrance into Jerusalem, the crowds are following him. He comes in from the east. And always in our Sunday soul, we want to look deeper at what these things mean. We can take them literally, or we can look and look deeper esoterically as to what is the significance. The east is where the sun rises. The east also signifies the beginning of wisdom, and it's like new opportunities. He's coming in showing that there's a new beginning, there's a new opportunity for us to get into the Christ consciousness. He's riding on a colt, a donkey, who represents our base nature, our egoic nature. He's subdued it, and he's riding upon it. He's conquered this lower self. Or even we could say he's in the process of conquering himself, because we're going to know later on how he lost it with the money changers. Now, at the opposite end of Jerusalem, Pilate is making his entrance into the city. Pilate wants to show the Jewish people who are enslaved to the Romans who their conquerors are and who rules. He's there coming with his imperial power, with his cavalry on horses, his foot soldiers, wrapped in his leather armor and his helmets and his weapons and his banners and his big golden eagles mounted on poles. He's clinking and clanging and making a big noise to let the people know who's in charge. There's an arrogance about him. And we could say that Pilate can represent our egoic nature. That can be pompous, that can be arrogant, that can be full of itself. And I recognize both the pilot and the Jesus in me this week. Yes, self-isolating has not been hard for me because I've been doing it for a long time. But self-isolating whilst dealing with things that are work-related that have been challenging, both my pilot side of myself and the Jesus Christ conscience of myself came into conflict. As it came into conflict, it was internalized and stress and angst was raging within me. I'm mindful of the story of the young chief or the young Indian speaking to his grandson, saying that there are two wolves, one anger and one love, that are raging within. And the young grandson asked, well, which one is the stronger? And he said, which one that I feed? So I recognized there were times this week that I was feeding my angry wolf, my pilot nature, that angry, dominating, egoic side of myself. Because people weren't responding as I expected them. People weren't seeing what I was trying to do for them. My staff, God bless them, have their own fears and anxieties and was not recognizing all that I was trying to say. But I heard a song in the background, one that I was going to share with you today, but will share with you another time. It was a listened version of the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. As I turned up the volume, my Jesus nature took over. The tears streamed down my face as I brought myself back to the remembrance of who I am and whose I am. It is not the pilot, the dominant, arrogant, egoic nature that is going to rule me. It is the Christ consciousness that I need to be at the forefront during this interesting, challenging time and throughout my life. We have to consciously choose whether we allow our Christ consciousness to dominate or our pilot nature to dominate. The quote that I shared with you from Desire Joseph Mercier said, we must not only give what we have, but what we are. We truly have to cultivate being the best version of ourselves. And as I often say constantly to friends and here on the Sunday Soul, the spiritual journey is not an easy one. Because it is a practice that is required of us on an ongoing moment-to-moment basis. There are times that even though we do it, it doesn't feel enough when the appearances or the reality that we are facing is so overwhelming, so frightening, so scary that we are unable to maintain it. But believe me when I say, the teacher said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed and do not doubt, and say to the mountain, move, it shall be done. So no matter how challenging whatever it is that is confronting you, search, dig deep, find your mustard seed of faith and hold to it. Be it a song, be it a quote, be it a verse from the Bible, whatever it is, take it. Look beyond the appearances as Jesus did when they told him Lazarus was dead. And come back to the truth of who you are and whose you are. My sacred verse comes from Corinthians 5, 7 to 8. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since truly you are unleavened, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Excuse me. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So here again, let us look at the deeper meaning of what the leaven is. The leaven is represented truth. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which is what a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until it was leavened. Meaning that the word of truth was hidden within, and it was spreading gently from point to point until consciousness is vitalized and realized it is part of the whole and it is a part of the consciousness of God. And so the verse is saying that we need to purge out, cleanse ourselves of the old way of thinking, the old belief patterns, the old system of thinking we're not enough, that we are somehow separate from God, and allowing fear to dominate our consciousness. We need to purge that out so we can become a new lump. Very clearly, new lump. And that we need to recognize the Christ of our Passover. And we're going to talk about Passover on Friday, on our Good Friday service. But we need to keep the feast, not with the old leaven, the old truth, the old way of being, but with the new leaven. It says, not with the leaven of malice or wickedness or limited thoughts or feelings or beliefs, but with the unleavened bread, the truth of sincerity. My beloveds, now more than ever, we need to see the leaven, the truth of what is, and look beyond the appearances of reality. I myself have been so caught up in looking at what's going on, and whilst some of the information I believe to be factual and some of it I believe to be fake, I, in my enthusiasm, have been sharing it and recognize perhaps not everybody is able to deal with it and discern. So I'm going to try in future just share lighthearted stuff. But it is this awareness of recognizing whether I was plucking into the pilot side of me or the Jesus humbly riding on the colt, having subdued his egoic nature. And Grace O'Brien said, with spiritual awakening, ego recedes to the background and becomes a service vehicle of the divine self instead of a tyrannical driver. When our viewpoint shifts from ego dominance to soul awareness, we are ready to cooperate with the infinite. When we can look at the leaven within us, take ourselves and our attention away from our ego and what's going on, we are able to be that vehicle with which the divine flows in and through and as the spiritual expressions of who we are created to be. My beloved, now more than ever, the rallying call is to truly identify with the truth and the reality of who you are at your core. Expressions of the living, one true God, that you are here to express love. And we know that perfect love casts out all fear. So we need to be the versions, the vehicles, the conduits of love expressing at this time, during this so-called crisis, this emergency. We need to be the vehicles, the conduits, the vessels of the Spirit of the living God here on earth at this time, expressing love and kindness and compassion. We are the ones we've been waiting for. There is no one else ready to do it. There is no one else that is going to do it. I want to share just one more quote from one of my influences. One of the people that have truly touched me on my spiritual journey and my spiritual path, who I've shared often, Swami Vivekananda. And Swami says, there is, as it were, an infinite ocean behind, and you and I are like so many waves coming out of that infinite ocean. And each one of us is trying our best to manifest that infinite outside. Therefore, each of us should be treated not as what we manifest, but as what we stand for. Each human being stands for the divine, and therefore each one of us should be helpful, not by condemning others, but by helping others to call forth the divinity that is within them. Swami V, as I refer to him often, always seems to just hit the nail on the head. I have recognized for myself that I've tried to do this throughout my life. I don't always succeed. There are times I fall short, but I pick myself back up and continue to try and remember that I am here to be of service to God, for God. I cannot outgive God, but I am going to do my damnedest to try. I want, my beloveds, for you to recognize and understand that what we do in service to God is different. As I keep repeating often, we are not here to be the next Mother Teresa's, or the Gandhis, or the Martin Luther King's, or the Mandela's. We are here simply to be the best expression and version of ourselves. And in doing so, we are truly giving honor to God in that way. So your being of service might simply to be able to hold the door, check in on your neighbor, and be pleasant in someone in the queue. All these things are being of service. One of my favorite poems is by Ella Wheeler Wilcox, who says there are two kinds of people. That's the title of the poem. There are two kinds of people on earth today. Just two kinds of people, no more I need to say. Not the sinner and saint, for it is well understood. The good are half bad, and the bad are half good. Not the rich and the poor. For to rate a man's wealth, you must first know the state of his consciousness and health. Not the humble and proud, for it is in life's little span, who puts on vain airs and is not counted a man. Not with the happy and sad, for the swift-flying years bring each man his laughter and each man his tears. No, the two kinds of people on earth I mean are the people who lift and the people who lean. Wherever you go, you will find the earth's masses, and always divided in just these two classes. And oddly enough, you will find two, I ween. There's the only one lifter to 20 who lean. In which class are you? Are you easing the load of overtaxed lifters who toil down the road? Or are you with the leaners who let others bear your portion of labor, of worry and care? My story that I wish to share with you, it's a long time since I've shared anything from Rachel Naomi Remen, from her kitchen table wisdom. And this is entitled, Some Things Are Forever. Some Things Are Ours Forever. She writes, more than 10 years ago, an 85-year-old widower came to see me to discuss his feelings about whether or not to have surgery for a cancer confined to one of his lobes of his lungs. After an agonizing period in which he examined his options, he decided that despite the risks, he would have this operation. At peace with his decision, he asked me if I thought there was anything he could do to promote his healing after the surgery. We spoke of exercise and diet and the possibility of Chinese herbs and acupuncture. Curious, I asked him how he had found the strength to go ahead with this difficult decision. He told me of a daydream that he had a few weeks earlier. He had been sitting in his chair in the evening reading his paper and had almost nodded off. It seemed to him that his wife had come to sit with him. She looked much as she had in the early days of their long relationship. And as she looked at him, he was struck by the love he could see in her eyes. As they sat together, he could feel his fear easing a little. And then he noticed that one of his oldest friends had also come into the room and was standing beside his wife's chair. His face, too, reflected the love that had cemented their lifelong friendship. He was smiling at his friend when he saw his brother standing beside him, and his eyes filled with love too. One by one, others whose lives had touched his in a loving way were there. Family and friends, teachers and students, children and grandchildren, and even the family pets. It had been a long life, and in the end, there were more than 50 or 60 of them crowded into the living room, and even into the hall. In this way, he had known that his life had been of value to many others and found that it was of value still. No longer alone with his decision, he felt fear release him and knew then that the surgery was the right thing for him to do, no matter if he survived it or not. I could feel tears in my eyes looking at this lovely old gentleman. I could easily see that his life had meant a great deal to those who shared it. What a beautiful thing, I told him. Yes, he said, and most of those people are dead now. He smiled at my look of surprise. I guess anything good you've ever been given is yours forever. He nodded his head and then sat quietly smiling to himself. All lives touch many others. Sometimes this network is very large and sometimes small. But somewhere in it, a certain quality of love is needed if we are able to survive. It is not a question of numbers. Sometimes it can be only given to one person. I often ask patients where the love that has sustained them has come from. From one man, the child of an abusive and alcoholic family, it was his dog. My Science of Mind reading is entitled A Life of Service. The first quote comes from the wonderful Indian poet Rabindranath Tagore. I slept and dreamt that life was joy. I awoke and saw that life was service. I acted, and behold, service was a joy. Our second quote comes from Ernest Holmes, The Science of Mind, who says, without love, nothing can be accomplished. With love, all things are possible. The author writes, a few years ago, I visited Hershey Park in Pennsylvania. I was surprised to learn that Milton Hershey, the man who perfected the recipe for milk chocolate and revolutionized the candy industry by mass marketing his products, was one of the leading philanthropists of his time. While developing Hershey bars and Hershey kisses in the early 1900s, his vision for building what would become the world's largest chocolate factory was taking shape. Hershey had a strong belief that providing better working conditions for his workers resulted in better workers. This led him building a company town that was unlike most others of that day. He built not only homes for his workers, but also supported the growth of surrounding businesses and a transportation infrastructure. He and his beloved wife, Catherine, never had children, but they established a boarding school for orphan boys and came to think of the boys as their family. In 1976, the school began to enroll girls as well. Today, the school provides a home and a free education through high school for more than 2,000 boys and girls. In truth, Hershey was a visionary social entrepreneur who just happened to sell chocolate. A bronze statue of Hershey with his arm around an orphan boy stands at the Hershey School with the inscription, his deeds are his monument, his life is our inspiration. Milton Hershey is an excellent example of the law of circulation. You can't outgive the universe. My beloveds, this Palm Sunday, I want you to be clear about where you allow your focus, your energy, and attention to go. Whether it's to the unleavened bread, the untruths, or the pilot egoic side of our natures, or we allow it to steady upon the leaven, the truth, the Christ consciousness, the humility and the humbleness of our teacher, our way shower, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. If you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes as we go inside for a short and mini meditation this morning as I'm overrunning. And as always, as you bring your attention to your breath, I like to remind you of the words of Job, who said, it is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life. So as you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in. And as you breathe out, this is my breath as I breathe out. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out. In. Out. In. Out. In. Out. Now as you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in deeper. And as you breathe out, this is my breath as I breathe out slower. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in deeper. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out slower. Deeper. Slower. Deeper. Slower. Deeper. Now as you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in healing. And as you breathe out, this is my breath as I breathe out forgiveness. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in healing. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out forgiveness. Healing. Forgiveness. Healing. Forgiveness. Healing. Forgiveness. Now as you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in Jesus. And as you breathe out, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe out Pilate. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in Jesus. Exhale. My breath as I breathe out. Jesus. Pilate. Jesus. Pilate. Jesus. Here in the cave of the heart, the sanctuary of the soul. Let us take a moment to see in our mind's eye that which we wish to be, do, have, or experience in this coming week. For each one is different. And as you see in your mind's eye that which you wish, always we add the feeling component. As you are seeing in your mind's eye that which you are doing, being, having, experiencing, what does it feel like? The more feeling we add to the mental imagery, the greater and the easier it becomes for our subconscious mind to accept it as a reality and allow it to come forth. Take a deep breath in as we enter into our circle of prayer. As always, you're invited to include anything or anyone that is in need of prayer at this time. To find the loved ground of being, source of all that is the absolute. As we consciously come into your presence at this time, recognizing that there have been times when we have allowed our pilot nature to dominate our Christ consciousness. Help us purify and eliminate that side and aspect of our egoic self, that we may allow the true self, our Christ, within us to rise and resurrect within our being. That like our teacher Jesus, we can sit on our base egoic nature and surrender ourselves to you, trusting with faith, even as small as a mustard seed, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. We hold in our hearts at this time all that is happening across the globe, that which is happening as a result of the corona epidemic, as well as remembering those that are still starving, those that are still hiding and is trying to escape from war-torn areas, refugees who are in camps that are unfit, the people who are incarcerated, the people who are sick at hospitals at this time, the people who have transitioned home back to you, for all the situations, for all that is happening, for all conditions that are too numerous to name, that seem overwhelming when we see, read, or hear about it. We leave it here now before you on the altar, knowing that whilst we are your hands and feet, there are so many things we know that we cannot control and that are out of our control. But you know all, see all, and can handle it all. So we leave it here before you, allowing our hearts and minds to be open to your guidance, to your wisdom, to your inspiration for whatever is ours to do for us to do it. Divine, beloved, ground of being, source of all that is, touch our hearts that it may be filled with love, and with that love, that perfect love, cast out all fear. Let us come back to the truth and the remembrance that you did not give us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Let us trust that our loved ones are safe wherever they may be. Let us trust that in all things and in every situation, your presence, your power, your spirit is there to heal, to renew, to restore, to bless, to protect, to provide. So we're remembering those who are without, those who do not have the blessings that so many of us on this call have, and ask that their needs be met, their needs be supplied, as our needs are continuously met and supplied. I put myself into this circle at this time, that you may cleanse my heart, purify me, that I may continue to be of service to you. And it's not my way but your way, not my will but your will be done. That I will continue to strive to do my best to be of service to you, and in therefore being of service to man. There are not enough words to give you glory and praise for all that you have blessed my life with. Continue to use me that I may be a blessing to all. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercies, we are ever, ever grateful. And so it is, and so it is, and so it is. Amen. Take a deep breath in. As we do our movement prayer, stretch your hands towards the sky, wriggle your fingers and affirm, I open myself to life all around me. Cross your hands, palms down over your heart and affirm, I am one with love and all that love is. Bring your hands together as if in prayer in front of your lips and affirm, I speak only words of health and wholeness. Drop your hands to your sides, palms open, facing outwards and affirm, I give thanks for all good things flowing to me. Bend your elbows, make small circles with your wrists and affirm, I release and let go, and so it is. Take a deep breath in as I unmute the phones for our science of mind affirmations and our Buddhist meditations.
All guest lines have been unmuted. Press #6 to mute your line.
Repeat after me. I live a life of service.
I live a life of service.
And find great joy in serving others.
And find great joy in serving others.
Our Buddhist meditations. If anyone has hurt or harmed me,
if anyone has hurt or harmed me,
knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed,
knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed,
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone, knowingly or unknowingly,
if I have hurt or harmed anyone, knowingly or unknowingly,
in thought, word or deed,
in thought, word or deed,
may I feel protected and safe.
May I feel protected and safe.
Contented and at peace.
Contented and at peace.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May my life unfold smoothly
and
with ease.
May I be happy.
May I be happy.
May I be peaceful.
May I be peaceful.
May I be free.
May I be free.
May my friends be happy.
May my friends be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May all beings be happy.
May all beings be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
Our prayer of intention, I am the light of God within and without.
I am the light of God within and without.
Radiating brightly.
Radiating brightly.
I am the love of God within and without.
I am the love of God, within and without.
Expressing unconditionally.
Expressing unconditionally.
I am the power of God within and without.
I am the power of God within and without.
Manifesting exuberantly.
Manifesting exuberantly.
I am the presence of God within and without.
I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal and unceasingly.
Eternal and unceasingly.
Beloved, as we're drawing towards the close of our Sunday soul, just to remind you that 10 at 10, our 10-minute prayer will be on Thursday, as always, 10 past 10, until further notice. And also we'll have our special Good Friday service on Friday, also at 10:10. So, my benediction. May God's extravagant love consume you, Christ's life and passion inspire you, and the Spirit compel you to do ordinary things with extraordinary love. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. May we go in peace and in the courage and grace of Christ to share God's extravagant love. And so it is. My closing song is one of my favorite hymns of all time. When my parents invited me to go to a church that they had just started, and I was reluctant, but my father, who I love and adore, said that he had received his healing, and I felt that I should go and give God thanks. It was going to be just a one-off visit, as it was not my intention to join the service or join the church. I ended up being there for 7 years. As a result of hearing this hymn, I'd never heard it before. And for some unknown and unexplainable reason at the time, tears were flowing down my cheeks. It is Janice Gaines' version of How Great Thou Art. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Happy birthday.
Hallelujah. How great is God. How great thou art, Janice Gaines. My beloved, I wish you a very blessed and peace-filled Palm Sunday. Allow your Jesus nature to ride forth and dominate your pilot. Peace and blessings until Thursday for our midweek prayer, or Good Friday for our service, or next Sunday for our Easter Sunday service. Peace and blessings, my beloved.
Amen. Thank you, Ingrid.